Christian Lander's got a new book out. He's the white guy who writes about white guys. No irony there. But he's in San Francisco right now. Whiter Shades of Pale. He had the book that was Stuff White People Like, and he knows all about white people. Let's ask him how he does. He's online with us now. Hi, Christian. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Are you a white person yourself, Christian? I should ask this, I guess, in advance.
To go a little further, I'm actually even a Canadian.
Oh, you're Canadian. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's okay. So how do they fit into this whole paradigm?
A little bit, yeah. Actually, they do. The type of white people I'm writing about, are sort of the left-wing, upper-middle-class white people. So, you know, most of the American white people that I'm writing about are Americans who hope to be Canadians anytime a Republican wins an election.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of the ways you can mark them, right?
Yeah.
That's true. And other things, wars and such.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important thing. Now, you really had a breakthrough with this earlier book, your Stuff White People Like. You tapped a nerve or something. What do you think the nerve is that you tapped?
Well, it's hard to say. It's one of two things. So it started as a website. It started as a blog called Stuff White People Like. And I think that what happened was people heard the title and they thought it was sort of the old stereotypes. You know, they'd click the blog and they'd see, oh, white people like golf and mayonnaise and, you know, dancing really uptight. And then they'd get to the site and they'd look at it and be like, well, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I like sushi. Everybody likes sushi. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah. I like organic food. Yeah. All right, I got a gifted child. Okay, hang on. Let me see the full list here.
Yeah.
What happened? Did I leave my webcam on? How did this guy figure out who I was?
Yeah.
And I think that was some of it. Then I think the other reason was a lot of people looked at the site and went through and were like, yep, hang on, I know this jerk. And then they sent an email along saying, you know, think you're unique, and sent it forward. So I think it really tapped a nerve in terms of the newer, updated version of white people.
Well, jerk's a little strong, though, isn't it?
Well, I think it applies to me. I mean, this is all self-deprecating for me, so I think it's pretty.
Because we're really talking about NPR listeners here.
Yeah.
Which is generic. I mean, NPR is generic for all public radio listeners, like aspirin is generic for aspirin.
Yeah, I covered that in the first book.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at some NPR listeners here. How do you feel about that, being characterized by that? Huh? You okay with that?
How many of them have canvas grocery bags?
Do you have who applaud if you have a canvas grocery bag? All right, big deal. So you got one right. Jim?
Yep. Yes.
No, that's one right.
Oh.
What else?
What other things do they like?
Tell me about them. Tell me about these people.
How many of them have recently shopped at a farmer's market?
Well, we have one in the building here, so that's not really fair.
Okay. I'm starting. Yeah. How many of them have liberal arts degrees?
Liberal arts degrees? Okay. We're losing this side here. These people are
all
bunched together in this on the right here. There.
Yeah. How many of them have children in a gifted program?
Well, you see, all right, because we're in the Midwest here. No one's going to admit your child is gifted. In Minnesota, they do that sort of thing, but not in Wisconsin here. You know, if we have a gifted child, it's nobody's business. No bumper sticker saying my child is smarter than your dog or something like that.
Right.
That's ridiculous. Okay, so I get your point, though. But so we're talking about a little subclass of white people. You have nothing against white people in general.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, look, the whole thing is self-deprecation. I do all of the same stuff myself. I'm an NPR listener, canvas grocery bag toter, Prius driving, liberal.
Yeah. But isn't it, there's an age thing in here, too, isn't there? Because, I mean, you're talking about baby boomers, and then you're talking about the young, very nearly hip white people, such as yourself.
I mean, one of the keys to comedy is you always try to write what you know. So I tried to be
that's the key.
Accurate as I could be about writing what I knew. So I wrote about the white people things that I specifically related to.
So all this is really about you?
For the most part, yeah. I was kind of amazed. I mean, I started this whole thing, again, as this website. It's kind of like a joke with a few friends. I really didn't think it was going to be popular.
No.
And I'm kind of amazed at how many people are exactly like me.
Yeah, and then you do provide a field guide in here for types.
Yes.
By city, is it?
Yeah, we're moving by city across the U.S., Canada, and Australia and the U.K. as well.
Okay, so for example, there's a Santa Fe type.
Mm-hmm. A Madison, Wisconsin type.
What is the Madison type?
The Madison, Wisconsin type is Madison, Wisconsin is the amazing, well, probably the place that the white people I'm writing about all dream about raising their children. and the joke I make is Madison, Wisconsin is the best place in the world to raise children if you have no ambition.
And you, by that, of course, you mean what?
Oh, that just comes from my, that's a joke coming from my time in graduate school. I'm talking about sort of the liberal arts English PhD, you know, ultimately sticking around for 15 years to finish the degree, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I did notice that, you know, when I first came to Madison, from all the way from Milwaukee, by the way, that the kids here, like teenagers and stuff, because I was teaching high school at a certain point, that they had an accent that I couldn't quite figure out where the accent was from. It was almost like a New York or maybe a Chicago accent. But there actually is a Madison accent, which my daughters now have, so I can no longer recognize it. I'm too used to it, but there is that. Weaknesses, alcoholism. What about that?
Well, that's the. I mean, Wisconsin is one of the biggest drinking states in America.
Yeah, but we can hold it, man.
So it's not a problem if you can hold it. All right, this is good to know.
Yeah, Korbel's is not actually alcohol. It's Korbel's. It's for medicinal and holiday purposes only. A venerable NPR affiliate, major university access to the freshest Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yes.
And then you have actually some pictures here of this family. Mm-hmm. Vintage Volvo.
Yes, of course.
Smaller, with a smaller carbon footprint.
Yeah, you buy used, you get a smaller carbon footprint, and you get the charm of vintage. And this is one of the jokes I always make, is that, you know, white people love vintage everything. Vintage clothing, vintage cars. And in recent years, we've also apparently loved vintage ways to die, because white people started doing things like drinking raw milk, and they stopped vaccinating their children.
All right, you got us there. But, you know, it's not vintage. It's just that the same shirt we've always had. It doesn't quite make it vintage. Maybe it does, you know. All right, military surplus. Counts as a tour of duty in Madison, it says here, yeah. Auditing class on cultural theory. Mm-hmm. All right, how many of you are auditing class on cultural theory? Ha, I got you there.
All right.
Not true. Considering opening a microbrewery with friends, works as a graduate student in 10th year of PhD. Well, that's accurate. Gifted prior to testing child. Scuffed elbow at public school from non-competitive activity. Do you have children?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I live in Los Angeles. I can't afford to have children.
Yeah, no, there's no point. And the footwear uses for long walks with daughter, writes down their conversations in moleskin notebook. What is this thing with moleskin notebook?
This is an obsession of the white people that I'm writing about. So basically, you know, the moleskin notebook, the leather-bound notebook, we pay a premium, you know, $15, $16, up to $20 for one of these notebooks. And they really do provide no additional functionality over a spiral-bound notebook that costs 99 cents. But realistically, how else are you going to show the rest of the coffee shop that you're the creative one?
I do like the Chicago guy here. He owns 26 polo shirts.
Yes.
That's pretty good. And, of course, the Cubs hat goes without saying. Yeah, okay. What else can you tell us about us?
About Wisconsin?
No, about, you know, white people in general. You know, by the way, I don't know if you know this. I'll let you know something. Jewish people don't think they're white.
Yeah, that's...
Did you know that?
Yeah, I've been told that a few times, but it's definitely not the case. But I have a longstanding belief that from what I'm writing here...
You get to choose whether you think you are or not. I mean,
I always talk about in the book that you don't have to be white to be white. You just have to be rich.
Oh. Okay.
That usually explains the process. But, you know, I mean, the book, the things that white people like, heirloom tomatoes are one of the things that have been on the list recently.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we absolutely love it. You know, we like to be able to trace our food's history back.
Yeah.
Which is
I've never gotten that. I'm with you on that. I mean, is it something you leave your kids? And they're like, oh, God, you know, Dad died, and he left us an heirloom tomato. You know, what is that?
That wouldn't be bad if he left us the seeds, you know, possibly start a tomato farm.
Yeah,
know,
for this, the seed bank, you know.
Yeah, you'd be all set.
He's got a lot of seeds in the seed, but no money.
Yeah.
Okay, messenger bags.
Yep. Apple products.
Apple products. And now here we're getting into a generational divide, though.
Yeah.
Because the younger white people are, there's a departure there, isn't there?
Yeah, they absolutely, I mean, it's amazing if you're at a college campus or at an independent coffee shop in Madison, Wisconsin, literally every person there has an Apple laptop.
Yes, that's true.
Every single
My daughter's
one.
There. She has one.
Yeah. iPhone 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't have one, not have the other.
Yeah, of course.
You got to go all Apple or all PC, you know. And people who are PC don't go around saying, hey, I'm a PC. They don't mention it, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But you happen to notice it.
Absolutely. Some of the other ones I have in there are religions their parents don't belong to.
Yes.
Or something that that white people often like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely one of the Sunday New York Times.
Gotta.
That's a huge one. Brunch.
But you know, a lot of us get the New York Times just for the doggy bag. They're snappy blue doggy bags. They're not transparent, so you don't actually see the contents.
That's a nuance that I missed before.
Yeah.
Also, we like waiting in line for food.
The what?
Waiting in line for food.
Yeah, okay.
This is something, usually I sort of describe that when you see a group of people waiting in line for food, you assume some sort of tragedy has beset them, like a communist dictator or some sort of tragedy. But if it's white people, it's just a new brunch spot has opened up.
Yeah. But like this funny or ironic tattoos, that's a young person.
Yep.
Thing right now. Do you have a funny or ironic tattoo?
No, I do not. But the thing that the people like to get now is they get a mustache tattooed on the inside of their index finger, so that when a picture is taken of them, they hold up the index finger.
That's not true. You're lying.
I am not making this
you
up.
You are. Adam. You are lying, Chris.
No, you type in mustache finger.
I mean,
in the internet search engine.
I see that.
Tattoo.
That's you in the picture, isn't it? In the book.
Yes, that's done with a Sharpie. That's done with a Sharpie.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. This is not true.
I don't do it, but there are literally thousands of other white people who have done that tattoo.
Who has done? Do you, sir?
I've seen it. I've
You've seen a mustache on a. Your wife wants one? Okay. Maybe so. I haven't seen it, but most of them aren't. They're Asian. They're strange Asian. I don't know if they're Chinese or calligraphy.
Yeah.
That say things we have no idea what they mean. Isn't that the and they're usually massive now. They're large.
Yeah, they're growing for sure.
We're almost through with this, Christian. I know you got things to do, and you're probably tired of talking about white people. Are you going on to a different race after this?
No, I feel like I'd get in a little bit of trouble for that one.
Yeah, so you can't do that. You can't do a book about black people or brown people. Let's say.
No, I would say
it's just not going to scan.
Mostly because my experience is being white. That's what I have. You know, that's what I draw on the most. But yeah, I feel like I'd get in a little bit of trouble if I tried to write one of those books. But it was funny when the website first started.
Yeah.
A lot of people couldn't figure out what race I was, and when they found out I was a white Canadian and not a black guy who went to Harvard, they were very, very disappointed.
They didn't know what race Christian Lander was, really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't put my name up on the site.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Of course not. Long-distance relationships, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's basically defined as breaking up very, very slowly.
Yeah, and they're the best kind, as we all say here. Then a little bit on the fashion part of it. Now, once again, this is very age. There's an age dichotomy here among white people, like American Apparel.
Yep. But from the first book, another thing we like is outdoor performance gear, like pullover fleeces. Like North Face thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very that's big. Part of the white uniform.
Yeah.
And the other one that we like is camping. White people like camping a
we
lot.
Do. Yeah.
I am not one of those people who like camping. I consider camping to be an insult to our ancestors.
Yeah.
Because they literally died to get out of nature to avoid bear attacks, disease, and so forth.
Exactly.
And I think by going back in, we do not honor them.
Yes. Back when we lived on the savannah and so forth.
Yeah, they were sitting around thinking, wouldn't it be great if we could just get food whenever we wanted and have access to a toilet? Wouldn't this be fantastic?
Yeah.
And now we go right back in there.
Yeah. Have you had reports of black people buy this book to find out about white people?
Yeah. I actually have a number of people who are who were first-generation college students who come up to me and say, I wish you'd published this book earlier. You would have saved me a lot of hassle.
They didn't give you any details about what hassles they were suffering.
Just basically, just 3 years of trying to figure white people out. They had to do it on their own. And the other thing that black people usually say to me is, "We've been saying this stuff for years. Why didn't one of us write it down?"
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's a good point. Google.
Yeah. This is definitely a generational thing. But in the book, I have a section on acceptable reasons for a white breakup,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is if they don't have a Gmail address.
Yeah.
Like if you meet them and they have a yahoo.com, you go, no, I don't think this is going to work out.
I have Gmail. It hasn't done me a lot of good. Yeah. I don't chat. Do you chat? Do white people chat? I don't know.
Yeah, we all do.
You do?
Yeah.
I tweet now.
All right.
Is that a departure for a white person? Or?
No, not at all. I mean, I put Facebook on there as well. White
Facebook.
People absolutely love Facebook.
Yeah. And what about music and that sort of thing? Where do we fall?
Oh, this is difficult. So the younger white people, the love of independent music is very important. It's one of the most precious things that we have. So asking a white person about their music is very, very, very personal, you know, because we're very judgmental about it.
Yes.
But we also like world music. Ah. And one of my other favorites is we like to pretend to enjoy classical music.
Just about have to, really.
Yeah, this is because of my belief that we all end up feeling guilted into going to a symphony and then spend 3 hours trying to figure out how close we are to getting to leave.
Yeah. And Anthony Bourdain?
Yes.
It's not Bourdain, is it?
Bourdain.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is he the big divider?
He's not really a divider. Yeah. One of the things that I've noticed is that white people in their 20s are very much sort of music hipsters. Mm-hmm. And as they get into their 30s, they start to become food hipsters.
Food hipsters, yeah.
Yeah, because you can't be the oldest guy at a restaurant.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, having been the oldest guy in a restaurant, that kind of leaves me in the lurch. But the book is Whiter Shades of Pale, and we're looking for still whiter shades of pale following? Even whiter?
I don't know if it could possibly get any whiter.
Yeah. Thanks, Christian. Nice talking with you.
Thanks for having me on.
Whiter Shades of Pale, Christian Lander. Find out about us. Let me know what you think. Okay. Well, that's pretty much what it is then. Foreign accents, unpaid internships. Anthony Bourdain, British slang, nannies. It's all in here. Moleskine notebooks. I don't know about that one, frankly. Promising to learn new language. Disinfectant. Okay, it's all here.